Ah, the storm, the storm, the storm.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm.
Would have been about 5:30 last night. Things was just getting dark. And I was, ironically, digging in the doomsday box that I'd created at the beginning of the COVID pandemic 18 months ago.
You did rush out and buy some stuff.
I did.
Was any of it practical stuff?
Absolutely. Well, I'm still using it. I was digging in there.
What's in there?
Oh, there was, well, last night, there were 2 cans of kidney beans.
He wasn't going to last long in a bunker, was he?
You were like,
it was going to be one stinky bunker.
Budget doomsday prepper over here.
Yeah,
this
oh, absolutely. So there's still stuff in there. I mean, like, you know, A, I'm living in a fantasy world if I think I'm not going to need that again at some point in COVID.
Yeah.
But I'd said I was going to make chili con carne. My wife and my stepdaughter were out. And so it was over to me and I went, oh, no, there's no kidney beans. Ah. Check in the doomsday box.
Perfect.
There were 2 cans of kidney beans and a can of tomatoes.
And on doomsday, you're going to reflect back on this moment and go, where did the bean? Ah, that yeah. night I made exactly. chili con carne.
It's all right, everyone. We're going to make it through another day. We've got kidney beans. Oh, no. So anyway, I got all those out and I could see it was starting to get ominous out there weather-wise. Mm-hmm. And I've already had flooding in my garage. I've got a rug that I've got an upright piano on in my little man cave that got wet. It's taken me 2 weeks to dry the thing out and it stinks a bit. So I was aware it was going to happen, but I thought, oh, well, my wife will get home and when she pulls the car in, then I'm going to like sandbag, well, really just like rolled up towels around the garage, okay? So I'm getting myself ready to make the chili con carne and it starts the rain. And I can tell by the ferocity of it that this is it. Mm. This is what Sherry Lee's been warning me about.
And it will not let up.
It will not let up. So I run to the front door and I'm in my trackies, I'm in my jumper, I'm in my beanie, I'm in my thongs with socks, right? And I'm like, oh no. And already the storm drain, which is kind of like a sink, is it a soak well
yep.
rather than a drain, is already getting full. And that's the problem because once that fills up, it then spills into the garage. I'm like, oh no, it's happening already. So I rip off everything that I'm wearing apart from my boxer shorts, my thongs and my beanie. And I run outside and I've got the broom. And I'm pushing the water. It's like the terrible, what is it, Atlas, who keeps pushing
the boulder.
Curse to push the boulder up the mountain and then it rolls down again and then he does it, you know.
Yeah.
That was me trying to push the water uphill to get away from the, you know, flooding the garage in my undies, in my thongs, in my beanie, just looking like a distraught mess. And then lo and behold, the fence blew down as well. And I just thought, I'm out. I'm
you
out.
Just left
I just let it go. Just do what you know, universe, do what you will.
That rug's going to be amazing wet the second
so
time
manky.
Round. Like, what a wet dog.
Yeah. And that's how I felt too, with my beanie and my undies just soaked through. And then I saw the car pulling in, you know, with the girls. And I'm like, hi. And I'm just run away.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Yesterday, guys, we caught up with Barra, who mentioned to us that there is a certain race that we had to watch yesterday.
Yeah. We've got to be there for 10:20. Either get to your TV or your app, the 7 Plus app. Ariana Titmus versus Katie Ledecky, 400-meter final freestyle. Going to be massive.
And sure enough, 10:20 rocks around and there we all are huddled around the television as this plays out.
Stroke for stroke, she's in front, Arnie Titmus.
Ariane's
in front. To become a legend, you have to beat a legend. And that's what we've seen. Australia win gold. Ariane Titmus, confirmation, a coronation. We can start the celebration for Australia.
That audio courtesy of the 7 Network. It was a wonderful moment, guys. And today we should be talking about Ariane. We should be celebrating Ariane. But what we've been talking about is, in fact, the over-the-top celebrations of her coach, Dean Boxall, as the cameras cut to him up in the stands and he's grinding against the glass fencing and just losing his nut.
It kind of did look like a small puppy with lots of energy to burn and nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
Just grinding on anything he could find. It was just, he had so much to say and do.
And probably my favourite part of the celebration was looking at the COVID steward in the background, the Japanese Tokyo, who was meant to be stopping people being over exuberant and going into areas they're not supposed to.
Oh, yes.
Trying to stop the boxel.
The boxel.
It was on. It was impossible.
And he's, look, he has tried to explain it away today.
We had a race plan, and the funny thing is, in this situation and under that amount of pressure, Arnie executed it to perfection. And so when I saw it starting to build, I thought, here we go. I thought that the chimichi could do this. Unbelievable to execute that under pressure.
I love it. I love the passion.
Well, I saw an interview with her parents this morning, and they are such sweethearts, and they were just going, oh, we gave her a call, and she was very happy, but she said, look, I've just got to get on with it. I've got other races to do. And she's, you know, she's not a big celebrator. She doesn't really go over the top. But coach, whole new game.
Yeah, amazing stuff. But it is the kind of over-the-top celebration where he was a millimetre away from going over that railing.
He was,
like,
yes.
That's the thing. And this is what I want to hear from people this morning about. Over-the-top celebrations, but in particular when they've just gone wrong.
Yes.
And I go back to a time when I was at St. Joe's and we were doing our inter-school carnival. We used to have them at Coker Park where the athletic centre is. And go Blue Faction, by the way. Never won a thing. But anyway, there was the 100-metre sprint and this girl has bowled across in first place and her mum has jumped the fence. I'll never forget this. Jumped the fence in excitement to run over to her, tripped as she's made it onto the track and bowled into the other girl who was running in second and cost her second place.
Oh, what?
Yes. I'll never forget that image, mate. I was only in year six and it was the, oh my God.
Because even still to this day, we're like, parents, calm your farm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a school carnival.
She was very excited. Even
some people
more
do this. You
wrong.
See this a lot in soccer and stuff. You know, the celebrations can sometimes mean lighting fire to a car on the way home.
Well, we even, you know, I played for Cracovia, the Polish club, and those were in the days when you had like Macedonian teams, Slav teams. There was a lot of, you know, racial stuff going on. And you'd hear, we were like 10, and you'd hear, you go kill him, kill him. We're like, dude, I'm just playing soccer here.
Kerry, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning.
Kerry, have you done a bit of an over-the-top celebration?
Oh, not me. It's always my husband.
Always.
He's very over-the-top. he went over with a group of guys to see my son play in the Asian Football Cup. I think it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And after they had won, he jumped over the fence, ran onto the ground, waving and carrying on, and of course the bouncers or the security guards were coming over to try and stop him. And my son saw it and raced over to him and hugged him. And if he hadn't have done that, I think we would have copped a $10,000 fine.
Right, okay,
he had to prove he was related.
He's my dad, it's my dad, don't hit him.
Instead, it's turned into a heartwarming moment.
It has, yeah.
Fiona in Dawesville, good morning to you. Over the top celebrations, what do you got for us?
My daughter, year two, she had won a few races at the Faction Carnival, so she was in the running for a champion girl medal. Ooh. And anyway, the video camera, they call bronze. She didn't get bronze. We were like, oh, okay, going to get silver. They call silver. She didn't get silver. So we're filming. We're getting ready and they call her name. She got gold. I threw the video camera in the air. We've got no footage. Screamed and shaked so much in my life. And the mum next to me is just looking at me like, oh my God, put a sock in it.
She's year two.
Year two. Champion girl. Hasn't won one since but.
Oh, guys, I've learned a life lesson this week, actually.
Have you?
I have, because I'm someone who, while I live in the burbs, I like to pretend that I live in the bush. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I grow all of my garden and all of the surrounding trees along my fence line higher than the neighbours' houses so that I can pretend I don't live in suburbia.
Okay.
And I'm comfortable with that because I like the convenience of living near the city but also pretending no one's around me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's been going quite well and I've allowed these lily-pilly bushes to grow. Well, let's face it, they're nearly 7 metres high now.
Lily pilly.
Yeah, now they're just a hedge. You might see them in a lot of people have them.
Sounds like
there.
A made up
Yeah,
plant, doesn't
people
it?
Put them along their driveways and stuff. They're a good hedging plant.
Are they?
If you let them grow crazy, yeah, they are a great block out absolutely everything plant. I give you the tip.
Your neighbours must love it.
They must love it. Mm. No one said anything. And I guess
that's because they can't get anywhere near you.
Probably.
They're blocked by lily pillies.
But you know, I thought, who doesn't love a bit of shade? They're getting a bit of shade, bit of protection from the sun.
Mm.
But I've decided, look, the thing is they're covering the solar panels and now I'm not getting any hot water.
Yes.
All right. That's an issue.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, I need to cut them back. And so I thought it's time to get a professional because I can't get up there with a ladder. I hedged them myself, but only as far as I can reach on a ladder. And so I was like, I need someone to properly chop them in half.
Mm-hmm.
So got a couple of quotes. I don't know what I was expecting, okay? I don't know because I've never done the job.
No.
I don't know what it's like to be a tree arborist. And I would imagine it's quite a challenging job because it's risky and you're up high and you've got to make sure you don't drop things on people's houses.
Sure,
and
yes.
There'd be a lot of insurance involved.
Yes.
And I know that they do a good job. But I nearly died because the quotes have come in at $1,350.
The best things in life are free. But you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money.
Yeah.
Now, can you break this quote down? What are you getting exactly for $1,350?
They're chopping the trees in half.
Yep.
Bringing them down to, like, you know, 3 metres or below.
Yeah.
And hedging them. But they told me the hedging is kind of like a, oh, that's sort of the nothing part.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that.
Are they going to shape it?
No,
into
we'll just...
some sort of weird mythical animal?
No, just clean them up. They're not doing Edward Scissorhands work.
It's like it's like when you go to a hairdresser and they shave your neck.
Yeah, that's it. It's right.
just part of the deal.
It's just part of the deal. Yeah. It's like that little bit at the end. They're like, that's not the difficult part. But they've all told me that it's going to be like half a day's work. And these are bushes. It's not like they're gum trees or whatever. So I clearly know nothing about being a tree arborist and I had no idea the work that's involved. And they do have to take it away and mulch it and get rid of it all. But
it does seem like a lot of money, doesn't
it? Yeah, like, if you know, when you just realise all I've been doing is trying to grow these great big nature bushes and everything's going to be fine, and then you realise, I can't believe it costs that much.
Well, I mean, when we got the tow ball put on the car.
Oh, yeah.
And that was $1,000.
What? For a tow ball?
Yes.
For the last 24 hours, you guys have been banging on about this tow ball, and I've been hearing it in the background, and I didn't know how much this thing was going to cost. $1,000 for a tow ball.
Look, it was like $880 on my wife's car, which, you know, was like, I don't know, a 2016 Jeep. It was kind of, it was new.
It doesn't matter what it's going on. They should already have the fitted space to put it.
That's what I mean. So it's an SUV and it didn't have a towing facility. And we had to take the famous trailer that I lost control of recently, needed to be towed down. And so it was nearly $1,000.
Mate, you bring that around my house, I'll grab Dad's oxyacetylene. I will weld that thing for $50.
Well, we didn't know you in those days. How much could you do Kimber's lily pillar?
Yeah, can you do
how much
lily
could you trim Kimber's bush
dead
for?
Set. My partner was like, no, we're going to hire scaffolding and I'm going to get out there and cut it off with a chainsaw.
Wow.
Like, and I'm not saying that they're not doing a good job. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes you get a shock. When was the last time you had this experience where you went, I can't believe that costs that much?
Oh, every time I look at a dentist or a vet, I think that.
Yeah.
Well, I had vet down.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, I've told you guys about the shed and how they quoted us $2,500 to put the shed up when the shed costs us $2,300.
Yeah.
Dude, that's to build you a shed.
Yeah.
For less, like slightly less than that, is just to get my tree cut. Yeah. I'm going to have to get it done in another 2 years.
Oh, far out.
I think you should get James out there in this weather with a chainsaw.
I love him too much.
Grania in Hilbert, good morning.
Good morning. How are you going?
Good, mate. Talk us through it. What was it?
So my mum's got a wraparound veranda around her house and she wanted to get a ramp built off the side for my grandma and they quoted her $3,500.
To make a ramp?
To make a ramp. It was about 2.5 metre ramp, not a very big decline. Yeah, $3,500.
Made with pure diamonds.
well, apparently timber's expensive, but I didn't know it cost that much.
No.
I'm having flashbacks to like when we were kids and we used to make our own skateboard ramps.
Yeah.
You know, and you'd be like, just a few of these, couple of bricks, put on safety first.
You've been at the 2 before.
We'll take care, man.
Trevor in Cannington, good morning to you, mate. I can't believe what cost that much.
Good morning, guys. Had a mate come around, install a couple of light fittings and a couple of PowerPoints, and barely there for 2 hours, and then he tells me $1,200.
He's not a mate anymore, Trevor.
I thought that's right up there with the lawyer rates of $100 per second sort of rate.
I take it he's a qualified electrician.
Yeah, he is, yeah. But I thought he'd do the old mates rates, but no mates rates when it comes to electricians or plumbers.
And when you say mate, though, Trevor, how long have you known this bloke? Like, what class of mate?
Good 15 plus years.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Do you know what?
Oh, wow,
in my experience, I've got very dear friends of mine that are electricians, and they never do any work at my house. I have to pay for another electrician to come and do it. They never offer.
I suppose business is business, isn't it?
Yeah.
Business is business. And of course, with a friend, you know, things stuff up, it can just cause all sorts of problems, yeah. Garlic.
Hey, Linda, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
Good, thanks. What costs that much?
Okay, getting the backyard done, I thought I earned maybe $6,000, $17,000 for a 315 square metre whole block. I need the backyard to be done.
To do what?
Paving. A little tiny bit of baked turf and a patio.
Oh, okay.
17 grand.
Well, the patio, I guess, takes, you know, the patio is the kind of thing that I think I could whack together myself,
yeah,
and then would have nothing but regrets afterwards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's one of those, yeah, ones. Yeah, like, I reckon I could do that, and you go, oh.
Go on, Linda.
Kimber, I mean, it's a small little tiny block, you know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah.
I was like, hang on, this can't be right. 17,000. He goes, oh, yeah, it's the paving, you know, that's 7 grand. And then the turf, I says, it's only a tiny little piece of turf. Oh,
yeah.
Like fake turf.
Yeah, you want to get some of those 4x4 free concrete slabs off Marketplace and just start whacking them down.
Too right.
Yeah. Stop trying to buy Marvel pavement.
17 grand.
It's a lot of money, isn't it?
It is. And so lawn, I mean, I just know how much pain lawn is.
Do you guys want to come around my house,
turf,
get on some scaff and cut down some trees?
No, I want to watch James do it.
You're kidding me!
All right,
yeah!
Guys. Yeah!
You ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Are you?
Yep.
Are you sure? Because today, guys, with You Kidding Me, I can tell you very excitedly that it is...
Oh, that's right, I forgot.
It's theme?
Theme!
Oh, I forgot. I was excited again for a moment.
Now, why is that just music that says this is important, or is that got something to do with the theme?
No, no. It's
like,
just,
will it be centered around the Middle Ages?
No, it's just theme.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just means it's got a theme.
It could be Game of Thrones. It could be Olympic. I don't know.
That's a great point that you make, Kimber. That's a really great point that you make. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's Olympic.
Okay.
Wow.
Your favourite subject.
I'm going to fail. Look forward to you stepping up here, buddy.
Okay. How this works. We've got three different bits of audio. They are montages. They could be made up of moments in time, songs, TV, music, any sort of thing that harkens to a year. And it's you two versus each other. It's very close, just a point separating you halfway into the year. Mm. And you have to tell me the year that it's from. Best of three, closest to the pin, wins.
Okay, harken up.
Are we ready?
Yep.
Not really, because I know you're going to put in obvious. One's probably like the year that Cathy Freeman won, and I know as an Australian I'm supposed to know that. That's what I'm worried about.
If you don't
know
the answer to that one, you're out.
That's
sister.
What I mean. Like,
you're
done.
Off to Christmas
I'm done
Island.
Before we even start.
All right, mate. Don't get yourself out
All
of
right.
it. Let's
no,
see
on.
How you go. Come on.
The Seoul Olympics were opened in a free and open environment on the gently flowing waters of the Han.
Florence Griffith Joyner ran the 100 meters in 10.49 seconds.
Down in Coke.
I shouldn't have talked over the first one.
You shouldn't.
Yeah.
81.
Well.
Oof. All right,
no,
mate.
I mean, okay.
It's like you're doing 100.
Matt was about to go, Kimber, that is not even close.
Well, it's not an Olympic year is the main problem.
Oh, right. Yeah. I see where you're getting at.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean you couldn't be close, because there was 1980 was Moscow.
Yeah, right.
And 84 was LA.
So I just had to go somewhere in between.
Yeah, so I'm going
to
go 84 for LA.
Listen to you.
I'll go 80 then.
Oh, you went 81 already.
You went 81 already.
Oh, all right. 81
like then. It was like a nearly Olympic year.
I was just trying to think maybe a year that Kokomo came out, because let's face it, otherwise I'm not really in this game.
Matty.
Yeah.
It was 88.
Was it? The
one,
Seoul.
One to you. Seoul Olympic.
Seoul Olympic.
Mate, how are you? You are a savant when it comes to years in Olympic games.
He's a history buff, and that's why I was like, anything history or geographical, that's his zone, man.
I'll tell you something.
These are his strengths.
Now, I think I'm right here, and forgive me if I'm not. I believe Florence Griffith Joyner has passed away now, but she had the enormous fingernails as she ran and won her event. Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Couldn't play netball with those nails.
No, I couldn't type.
Let's get into the second
one. Had to go into
the Winter Olympic Games was Salt Lake City, Utah.
Tell me why they had to go make things so complicated.
They popped Stephen Bradbury. A total wipeout.
And then Bradbury wins.
Stephen Bradbury of Australia crossed the line.
96.
Okay, Bradbury.
Bradbury.
Okay, well, now that, well done, because that... Is
it an Olympic year? If it's not, I'm giving up. Yeah, well, we had 2000 Olympics
in
Sydney,
it's
right?
Not.
So why isn't it?
Well, oh,
no.
Why
wouldn't it
be?
No, that's a summer Olympics, but that's a winter Olympics,
man.
Which is the other.
I'm just going to go and get a cuppa and come back.
Well, could you make
honestly,
me one while you're at it?
This is the most rubbish.
So 96. Salt Lake City.
God.
What was that? 90.
Why am I even here?
You could still win because I don't
that's
really know.
It's a fun game, Matt. I can't wait to see
I don't
you
know.
Play.
This is the best.
So it's either 90.
This is the best one we've ever done.
4 or 98. I can't remember.
So you've gone 96.
I'll go 94.
Oh, I don't think I'm still in the game, Pete.
You've gone 96. You've gone 94.
Yeah.
Stephen Bradbury.
Yeah, when was that?
Yeah, so the Stephen Bradbury moment, this famous moment, you guys, all about Stephen Bradbury and him lasts the entire race, the entire field falls over, and then he claims gold. One of the greatest moments in Olympic history. It was the Winter Olympic Games, Salt Lake City, in 2002.
There you go, Kimber.
You had Stephen Bradbury yourself.
You have.
Into the final. Mate, I'm so excited for you, so you're never out of it.
This is how football players must feel when they're just out of the top eight.
Okay, here's the last one.
Queen Elizabeth II, here beside IOC President Lord Kilanin, has additional reason for coming to open the Montreal Olympic Games.
Nadia Comaneci, faultless, absolutely faultless.
I know this, so I'll let Kimber go first.
Yeah, you're joking? You go first.
1976. I'll tell you
how
what.
How come you are so confident?
Because, would you believe it, I was 6 years old, and, you know, there are certain things that I can remember things from before that, but the Montreal Olympics and the Granville train disaster, which I think was the year later, are two things from my childhood that are really prominent in my memory.
Hmm.
Kimber.
Have a crack at something.
This thing on. I told you I was getting a cuppa.
Okay. So you don't,
I've already
you
forgotten what his answer
Where
was.
Is your Olympic spirit to battle till the end, mate?
74. Oh, no, that was an autumn Olympics. Kimber, that doesn't count.
No, there's no such thing as autumn Olympics, Kimber.
Imagine that. The autumn Olympics. It's leaf blowing.
It was 76, Matty.
Well played. Can we not do a round that rubbish ever again?
Well, I don't know because there's another week of Olympics, so who knows?
Next week, the theme will be Matt Dutinsky's career.
This is Pete, Matt and Kimber. Pete, Matt and Kimber.
My dad was a painter his whole life, right? And spent many years working at Rottnest. And at Rottnest, used to have to go around occasionally and remove some of the graffiti that some of the youth would place around the
Give
place.
Give us a look at your quokka.
Yeah, a bit of that going on. And Dad, as you know, when we were very young, it was instilled in us, you do not graffiti anything.
Oh.
You do not write on things that don't belong to you. You don't destroy public property. There was a lot of that, right? Okay. That was it was very clear to us that was the rule.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, lots of places they go, I see plenty of graffiti. Mm. You see it in toilet stalls. You see it in parks. It's sort of like or just in people's walls and things. And I don't mind if it's something kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. If it's clever or funny, brilliant.
Or if it's a great picture or something. Mm-hmm. If it's just your tag, stop it. You're stupid. Mm. Right? But if it's the other stuff, I'm like, there's a place for it because it's kind of art.
Yes. Well, Banksy tells us that it is. Right?
Yeah. And I saw this post on Twitter this week by a gentleman named Tim, who has taken some photographs of a park bench in Bassendean where someone's written wholesome graffiti on the picnic tables.
Oh, really?
Okay.
And it's not always, like, when you think of graffiti, what kind of stuff? Have you got some examples of places you might have been when you thought of graffiti and you remember it?
Well, I can remember one very vividly, which is, you know, in public toilet blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Talking a lot about my personal life here, but how there's the gap under the door.
Right.
In the toilet, you know, and write in very small writing, so you had to lean over to read it, was beware of limbo dancers who could come underneath the door, which I, yeah, well played. You know, you got to pay that.
See? It brought joy.
Totally. Ooh, I loved it. Yeah.
Joy.
When I went to Curtin, and admittedly, this is the toilet stall again, but there was one notorious door where somebody had actually written most of the answers to one of the exams.
Oh, wow.
Like actually had graffitied in most of the exams, like answer the exams. And it went unnoticed for quite some time until one of the tutors actually picked it up and they had to change the exam for it.
Oh.
Because they were the legitimate answers. And you'd come back occasionally and be sitting there looking through it and there'd be other written notes underneath it going, thank you, this was very helpful.
I love the fact that they changed the exam rather than just paint over the graffiti.
Yeah.
Well, this wholesome graffiti in Bassendean on the tables, I mean, it's got things like this. If you see this, holding on hurts more than letting go. Remember that. Oh. They've also said, be yourself. You are amazing.
Oh.
And remind yourself that you deserve more than the bare minimum.
Yeah, well,
I'll take that
into my next contract negotiation. Yeah.
This very profound one. I like being around you. Usually being with someone drains me, but I always feel recharged after I see you. You help me get out of my head.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
What's going on down in the Bassendean Park?
It's just a message for life, really, isn't
it? I'm not saying do graffiti. I'm just saying if you are going to do it, wholesome or funny is the best option.
And I tell you what, I remember going around the Czech Republic and also at Sigiriya in Sri Lanka, which is an ancient monastery, and graffiti ain't a new thing. There was carvings in the walls from hundreds of years ago of people literally doing things like, you know, so-and-so was here. Essentially.
With the Z?
Was here. Now, I had an interesting thing happen. I was socialising on the weekend, which in and of itself was quite unusual for me. And a guy that I know, you know, like I know him. We're very friendly. We certainly don't catch up often. And he was sort of questioning me, like, how are you, man? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. And, you know, like the first time someone asks that and you answer, you know, I'm never one for small talk. And so I answer the question, I'm okay,
I'm
buddy.
Good.
You
how
know,
are you?
Like
yeah.
dealing like everyone with the fug of 18 months of COVID and all. And I felt like I'd answered the question well.
And you haven't seen him in a while?
I haven't seen him in a while. And he's like, yeah, but how are you, dude? And I'm finally, after about the third or fourth time, I said to him, what are you talking about? And he goes, I heard that you were dying.
Oh. Now
I'm a hypochondriac at the best of times.
Wowza.
But when someone tells you that they've thought for the last 2 years that you were dying.
Last 2 years.
Oh my God. I mean, is this like Chinese whispers?
Well,
yes,
it seems that it was, and that he'd picked up some information from somewhere.
What were you dying of?
Well, I don't mean to make fun of the condition because it's a terrible condition, pancreatic cancer.
Wow.
That's what
How
he'd been
think
told.
So specifically well, that you yeah. had something going on.
Well, and of course, immediately I thought, oh, have I got it? You know, but it was the strangest thing, the strangest conversation to have because, you know, so many things are going on in my mind. A, I started to feel sick.
Yeah.
B, I started to think, do I look that bad?
Wow.
That people could quite for 2 years think that I was struggling with a life or death situation.
Wow.
Now, sickness.
So did you told him obviously that you're okay?
Yeah, I did.
Was he relieved?
He was relieved.
Right, okay.
He was. No. He was like, oh, man. Oh, thank God.
Yeah, because he's been invested in the fact that you've had cancer for the 2 years.
Totally. Totally. Right. I could have, you know, started up my own GoFundMe page and he would have put some big bucks into
it. Also, he knows you well enough that he hasn't just got you mixed up with somebody else.
Well, I would have thought so. I mean, you know, I would have thought to meet me was an experience, but clearly clearly it's not. Clearly I sort of, you know.
I think we laughed too loud then. Can we go back and edit that out? No, we're back. Live.
No, I'm unfortunate. Don't worry. I'm both egotistical and self-aware. I might dream that I make a big difference, but I'm aware that I just melt into the background quite quickly.
But, mate, at least you're not dying.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I feel
good
okay.
News.
It's good news.
Yeah, okay. So you can be assured if you were one of those people.
Did you just say a little rouge in your cheeks?
No wonder people have been so friendly to me over the last 2 years.
Once you shaved your head and changed.
Yeah, that's right.
She's the quadruple threat who started out on Pop Stars before going on TV shows including Celebrity Apprentice, Australia's Got Talent, The Bachelorette and Love Island. Right now we're loving her sick as host of Beauty and the Geek. Please welcome Sophie Monk.
Yeah, Beauty and the Geek back tonight, 7:30 on 9. Hello, Soph.
Hello, guys. How's it going?
We're good, Soph. Loving the show. Lots of our listeners loving the show too, but I can't help but think that the geeks are going to get more from this than the beauties.
Oh, in what way?
Well, I just feel like, you know, they're getting a newfound confidence and learning all these things about themselves and looking after their appearance, and I just don't know that the geeks can give as much back in, like, learn calculus in 8 minutes.
Yeah. Intelligence-wise, I'm not sure because I haven't learned anything. It's like since I was like in year 3, once they started stop colouring in, I like failed every year. So.
Between the lines, Sophie, between the lines.
Yeah, that's it. But I think they do learn about themselves. Like you'll see that as you go on as well. The beauty subject for sure, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, obviously we watch it with great sort of love and it's great entertainment, but do you actually, you know, quietly sit there and go, wow, I can see some real transformation here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and the relationships they build, like whether it's romantic or friendships, full on as well, but, yeah, their transformations are awesome, aren't they?
Mm.
They are awesome. Sophie, you're clearly a beauty. And one of the things that really interested me when I was sort of doing some reading up was that your partner, Joshua Gross, happens to be an entrepreneur specializing in neurosurgical robotics. So you're living a real-life beauty in the geek. Do you see a lot of your own relationship in what you're seeing amongst the contestants?
Oh, poor Josh. He's been, like, named the geek. Not that a geek's a bad thing, but he's gorgeous too. Like, he totally gets it. But, yeah, I mean, what he does is way over my, you know, IQ, for sure. But, yeah, I don't know if I see myself in there because I'm a fair bit older than them as well. They're so young in this.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing because I'm seeing them really put out of their comfort zones. Last night was hilarious watching the guys try and run their own gym sessions, but some of them took it on board. And I think that with beauty or geek, wherever you sit, when you ask someone to step right out of their comfort zone and do something that confronting, I think in day-to-day life, it's hard to get most people to agree to that.
Oh, totally. Can you imagine doing that?
Yeah.
Like running a gym class? It's pretty full on. Oh. The situations they're in are really testing, that's for sure. But they deal with it so well. I think that's the fun of the show, you know, as well. You don't look like a goose. It just looks, you know, very funny.
Yeah, they're great sports. There's no doubt about that. Hey, and Sophie, in the real world, how are you going in lockdown there in Sydney, I take it?
I want to headbutt myself in the face. It's so full on. Like, it's just, I think the first one was a bit fun, you know, like, and I'm antisocial anyway, but now it's playing hard to get with me that I'm not allowed to see people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm down at the BP and I'm like, how's your day? She's like, not really. And I'm like, what else? You know, like you just want that human interaction.
So what time do you put those extra sausage rolls in?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, how do you keep them warm? It's like, it's full on. But and my regrowth's getting out of control. You know, all first world problems. I'm lucky I don't have kids and working from home. That's the thing.
So far, just quickly before we let you go, looking ahead to the rest of the season, there's some of these where I feel like, you know, this geek's going to go through his transformation. And I reckon pre-beard, probably a good-looking guy and it's not a stretch. Whereas, you know, Sam, for example, we're like, okay, there we go. There's a change. Is there anything down the track that's really going to blow us away here?
With the transformation?
Yeah.
I think all of them do. Yeah. And it's, you can see them in them. They feel so proud as well because it's just not their priority, you know. Mm. And they just come out feeling so special. There's great ones to come.
Cool.
I feel really sorry for Kieran because the whole upkeep of the beard, it's
oh,
rough.
Really?
Yeah, it is. It's not easy, mate. Yeah, just keeping it at a 1 mil to 3 mil shave is not an easy thing.
No.
Really? Mm. Oh, and you're lucky because not everyone can grow a beard.
Oh, I've also, never looked at it that way.
What are they complaining about, Sophie? Like, try doing your legs and your underarms and your Brazilian and then talk to us.
And then waxing your mo. Yeah. You know, out of control.
I think you're making the presumption that I don't. hey, Soph, nice to catch up with you, mate. Take care.
You too. Thanks, guys.